Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church of Christ Alive. A message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any question about the message, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer it for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to obtain information on how to get copy of the messages that the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And once again, for those of you who don't like doing it over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com with your prayer requests or your questions or even your inquiring how to get copy of the messages, and I will get back to you as well. So without further ado, let us go into prayer before we go into the message tonight. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again for the blessed day that you'll bless us to assemble together once again in your name. Dear Lord, we humble ourselves in this blessed day and come before you this day in the name of Jesus Christ, looking forward to you doing what you need to do this day. We invite your spirit to be with us. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you will bless us with knowledge, understanding, wisdom of thy word. And so, Father, we just thank you. And, Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. I want to, once again tonight, this is another new part of the series that will be given to Friday nights. I want to open up with a scripture from one of God's books called The Word of the Lord. The Word of Jesus Christ, as he had been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah. I ask that you have your Bibles ready by you, because we're going to go into the Bible as well. But I want to open up with one of the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ that is entitled The 27th Message Jesus Sent Out, September 2nd, 1931. And once again, this message has about 15 verses, but I want to read one of the verses, which is verse 12. Amen. And the Word of God says, beware, be careful in your travel, for Satan will seek to destroy and hinder the Lord's work that I told you to do. This is a time of turmoil and distress, for Satan will send destruction everywhere. Build ye upon the foundation Christ has laid. Now, the Lord, we want to understand that in through this word that he has been sending through his angel messenger, he is speaking to born-again believers to build upon the foundation Christ has laid. Not a foundation that man has laid, no one else, but it has to be the foundation that Christ has laid. Not the foundation that Elijah Muhammad has laid, or Farrakhan, or the foundation that Harry Krishnu or Charles Taze Russell or Mary Baker Eddy, none of those of these other religions, but it has to be the foundation that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has laid. And we have been instructed to build upon this foundation. Amen. Now, we do understand, and I hope that all of us as Christians understand, and I do believe that some of us don't, that The Lord Jesus is not a God who speaks in vain. Okay? In other words, he's not going to tell you to do something if it was useless. He's not going to tell you to do something that if there was no meaning behind it or if it was meaningless. And I know that sometimes we had gotten to a point where we treated the Lord like that, that, for example, when he had given us personal instructions, we act as though that, and I know I have to take myself for example, many times I had been guilty of that, as if what he was saying was meaningless. But we must keep in mind that whenever the Lord tells us to do something, it is not in vain. And we have to keep that in memory. Now, he told us to build upon the foundation Christ has laid. So to get that more specifically expounded or explained or given or revealed to us, let's go to the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews chapter 6. And this is also be known as the milk of the word, where that this is a starting ground also for babes or newborn babes in Christ. So to the ministry, if someone just got saved, were born again, and they actually say, well, what now? What do I do? Well, they got to build a foundation. And this is where we start them from, okay? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And the word of God says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, yesterday's series was dealing with faith, and that's given to Thursdays until otherwise. So today, we're looking at from Hebrews 6 and 1, where he says, let us go on to perfection, that's maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, we're going to look at today repentance, repentance. And I want to give a definition of repentance as we come from Webster Dictionary. And Webster says the definition of repentance means the action or process of repenting, especially for misdeeds or moral shortcomings. So he said, Webster said that repentance is the act of repenting. But then we have to travel a little bit deeper because now we need to define repent. Now, I want to define repent through Webster and give you three definitions because I have seen and personally believe that these three do apply in a full repentance, okay? And sometimes you have people willing to do maybe one or two of them, but not the third one, okay? So when we look up repent, because repentance is the act of repenting, when we look up the word repent, amen, and I want to give you these three definitions. Number one, repent means to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. Okay. Another definition of the word repent means to feel regret or contrition. It also means to change one's mind. Okay. I gave you those three definitions because for us to fully repent, all three of these things need to be exercised. Now, there are some who, in one definition, of repentance means to feel regret or contrition. And this is to a point where you may say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And that has its place because that's part of it. But it seems as though that the thing that people struggle with, and sad to say, we as Christians is thrown in the same category, is the part of the definition where it says to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. So repentance also deals with you turning from the sin. So not just saying, I'm sorry, or you feeling remorse or regret, that's part of it, but turning away from the sin. So what I'm saying is that we will quickly say, oh, I really feel bad what I do, you know, and I'm sorry. But as from turning away from committing the act, we don't. And therefore, we have not expressed a full repentance, okay? Because some think that just saying I'm sorry alone is going to get it. Now, don't get me wrong. That's part of it. But they think that just by saying sorry alone, but continuing to keep doing it, is okay. And it's not. You understand that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you're still committing the act. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, and this thing has really, this is why, for example, some of God's people are held in bondage to particular things or still under a curse, per se. This is why many of us are still captivated and captive by curses, because we have not turned away from the act. Yeah, we say, well, I'm sorry for doing that. But we stay continually doing it. There is no break in the action for many of us, and we just continue to do it. And we think because we just said, I'm sorry, or we admitted that it was wrong. And once again, the admitting that's wrong is of confession. But the repentance especially is dealing with the turning away from the sin. So in other words, if you're stealing money from your brother, and you turn to your brother and say, hey, I'm sorry for stealing that money, but you study, keep stealing. Then you have not fully repented. You just said, I'm sorry. And you acknowledge you know it was wrong. But you still stealing from them. Amen. And you got people that think because they said, I'm sorry, it's like they still give them the right to continue to do it. Okay? That by me saying I'm sorry has made everything okay. Okay? And by me saying I'm sorry, I don't have to quit doing the act that was sin. That I can keep on doing it. Because, you know, you hear people say, well, I told you I was sorry. Okay, but you continually doing the thing. Lord help me. Now, tonight I want to go into the scripture to show that how that, now remember this is a foundation, or the foundation Christ wants to build on. This is part of the foundation, not only the faith, but it's repentance. Do you understand that there are some church people or some people that proclaim to be Christians don't think that you need to tell people about repenting because their excuse is, well, they already know their sin. Well, maybe in this part of the series, we'll get on about the preaching of repentance, because if that just be the case, then we would have to go back, let's say, to Matthew chapter 4, I think it's in Matthew 4:17. Take that and go to Jesus in prayer and say, Lord, you messed up. You went around telling people to repent. They already know they sin. So in other words, we're saying to the Lord, you did something in vain. What he did. And you have many churches. See, this is why Christ tells us to build on the foundation Christ laid, not to get off this foundation. Even as you mature in Christ, beloved, that don't mean you stop repenting. Any sin flag, anything, to, you got to repent. So tonight we're looking at how the repentance is connected to the act that's committed that is sin. That you must understand, you have to repent. Not only expressing and having a change of mind and expressing your remorse and sorrow for it, but turn away from the act. Just like, for example, one thing in dealing with repentance that you have some people who wants to say, when you talk to them about accepting Jesus, Lord, and tell them to repent, and they will say, well, I know I've sinned, and I'm a sinner, and I know it's wrong, and I'm sorry for committing that sin. But here's the other thing. They don't want to turn away from that sinful life. They want to continue to live that sinful life. So have they fully repented? No, they haven't. And this is another reason why you find some sinners don't want to make that move to get saved, because they want to continue to live that sinful life. Now, if you just told them, say, hey, all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, Jesus, for living this life, and that's it. You ain't got to stop doing what you're doing. Only thing, you got to acknowledge that you're wrong and say you're sorry. Well, they'll definitely jump at the chance, okay? Because why? Because when you let them know that you don't have to turn from the acts that God calls sin, oh, well, hey, they would embrace doing something like that. They don't mind saying it. And see, that's the mindset of many people, okay? And see, when you explain to them about giving their life to Christ and walking according to his word and living in holiness, now they shake and shiver and say, well, you know, I don't think I'm ready. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Your Bible's here. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Let's look at this. Amen. And here, it talks about John the Baptist. The word talks about John the Baptist. And we know John the Baptist being a prophet of the Lord and sent of God to Israel at that particular time to give them the word of God. And verse 4 said, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance. Or the baptism that comes from what? From your repentance, what? For the remission of sins. Now, notice that what is the repentance is connected to? The sin. Said the remission of sins. Now, we got to understand the remission is dealing with two things. Number one, forgiveness. And number two, the removal of sin. Okay? The removal of it. So he wasn't just preaching the baptism of repentance or preaching repentance, simply just telling people to repent. Just repent. No, he was telling them to repent for a reason, because of sin. Now you say, well, Brother Nate, why do you have to stress on this? Well, number one, here's the thing that I got to drop on you. And I pray that your ears are open to this. There are some Christians, if you got to hold on to your table when I say this or whatever, there are some Christians who think because they have become a Christian that they don't have to repent anymore. I'm going to say that again. There are some Christians who think that just because they have become a Christian, that they don't have to repent anymore. So
and do any committing sinful acts because they're a Christian. They think, well, I already repented to God and I got saved. Let me tell you something. This is why it's the foundation of repentance. You have to build on this foundation. You have to stay repentant. Okay? Understand this. I've said this many times before on other broadcasts. Sin does not change what it is, and the consequences it brings just because you get saved. See, too many of us, we're looking at them sinners. And all we're talking about is them sinners need to repent of them sinners. And guess what? That's a truthful statement. But however, when them sinners fornicate, and then we Christians fornicate, some of us think as Christians, like the fornication we done is different than the fornication the sinner man has done. Amen. Because why? Because the spirit of pride has come among some of God's people. And all their focus have been, don't get me wrong, we got to give the sinner man the word of God. We got to preach the word of truth. That's not abolishing that. But what I'm saying is that some of us as Christians, the foundation Christ laid, in that foundation is involved repentance. And some of us as Christians think that we don't have to repent because we got saved. We act as though repentance is only acts that's committed just by the sinner and that we're not even capable. Now, I'm not here to promote sin now with the Christians. Listen to me close. But we act like we're not even capable. And so when we commit it, we excuse it. But we jump on them sinners and we own them strong. And when them sinners see that we commit the same sinful act that they have and they turn around and question us about it, we excuse ourselves. But then looking at them and pointing them at them and say, you got to repent. Now, people, let's understand something here. God is not a fan of sin. He hates sin. He don't like sin, period. And so just because you're a Christian and that sinner's a sinner, God is not going to like you as a Christian committing that sin no more than he would like the sinner do it. Do you get what I'm saying? He's not going to like it no more, okay? Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Okay, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Because we got to understand that whenever there's an act of sin committed, there has to be, God requires repentance. He doesn't require, oh, it ain't nothing. Amen. Now, look what he says. He says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what, Peter? For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? So repentance is connected concerning sin, that our sins may be remitted, that it may be forgiven, and that it may be removed. Okay? If you as a Christian think that you don't need to repent when you have committed any sinful act, that sin is still going to be there and it's going to be against you on the day of judgment. In fact, that very sin, because remember, what accompanies sin? What do the Bible teach us? What do the Word of God as a whole teach us? That curses accompany sin, that the consequences that sin brings to us is not beautiful. It is curses. So therefore, if you think it as a Christian, I've already repented to God, I'm saved, I don't have to repent no more, and you thinking that type of mentality, you got that type of mentality, and you committing this sinful act, guess what? Those curses is going to get you too, like it's getting the sinner man. Do you get that? Because curses don't get to a Christian and say, wait a minute, I better not try to overtake you. I better not try to come upon you because you're a Christian. No, that's not how it works, okay? If you're a Christian and you commit that sin, by the law of the word of God, that curse accompanies that sin. You got to repent to break it. If, once again, if you too proud, too lifted and cried, you talking about I'm a Christian, I ain't got to repent. Amen? Then guess what? The curses is going to hit you. Repentance is part of the foundation that Christ laid. Do not, and I repeat, do not let anyone, I don't care if you're your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy, great-grandmama, great-granddaddy, been in the church I don't know how many years, well-known, popular, do not let anyone tell you that you're not to build your life in repentance. On repentance. Don't let no one tell you that, people. Because whoever tell you that, either they in ignorance of themselves or they purposely lead you to destruction. Okay? Well, we got to be honest about it. And now, more and more people in the churches don't want to repent. They don't want to turn away from that thing. They don't want to stop doing it. Now, you got Christians, or supposed to be Christians, going around with these secular artists making songs like "You Can't Judge Me." I said, what? You can't judge me. When it comes to judging according to my flesh, to the outward appearance, that's wrong. When it's just my own judgment. But when it comes to the word of God, I can do that. Any Christian can do that. Amen. But some of you, as Christians, you're talking about, don't judge me. You can't judge me. You know, when another Christian catch you in a sinful act and say, brother, sister, that's wrong what you did. You shouldn't say, well, God forgive me. You can't judge me. Uh-uh, stop that. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. Please quit. Okay? Amen. That brother or sister called you in a sinful act, humble yourself and say, hey, listen. You're right, I shouldn't have did that. Lord, forgive me. Don't come up with this where you know, but you know, God know my heart. He forgive me, and you can't nobody judge me. Stop it. Like I said, we've had so-called Christian artists making songs with these secular artists, making songs like, you can't judge me. And see, some of you don't see where this stuff is going that they're doing. They trying to say, I can sin, don't say nothing about it. That's what they're saying. And if that being the case, then we don't need to preach the gospel of repentance. Now, I'm not telling you, you go and spy out and look out at everything people are doing, try to jump. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. It's just like, hey, for example, if your brother or your sister steal from you, you mean you can't tell and say, hey, you wrong, you stole from me, and that's wrong in the sight of God? That's a sin. So you telling me, this is to you Christians who want to throw it up there, oh, you can't judge me. You mean to tell me I can't tell you that you need to repent? Come on. You let someone break in your house, go to court, and the judge finds him guilty. I guarantee you, the majority of you, if not almost all of you that believe this thing like this, I guarantee you, you ain't going to get up there and jump in front of that judge and say, judge, you wrong. You're wrong, judge. You can't judge him. No, you're going to be sitting up there probably smiling and thinking, oh, justice has been served. He shouldn't have stole my radio. I'm telling you, It's amazing how some who profess to be Christians want to get away with committing sinful acts. But other stuff that's done against them, they want to hold, quote, people accountable. Well, that's why I am grateful that we serve the true and living God, who is the great judge. You know, God is not a biased person. You know, you ain't got to worry about his judgment being tainted. You ain't got to worry about nobody bribing him. Okay? Nobody scaring him, sending God a threat. God, if you judge him guilty, we're going to send our boys and shoot your house up. You ain't got to worry about nothing. You ain't got to worry about him being intimidated. See, people as judges here on this earth is capable of being intimidated. They're capable of being persuaded into us. In a judgment position, we're capable. But one thing about God, you cannot use capable with God on that. You can't use capable with God. Well, God's capable sometimes of being afraid. No, he ain't. Man, can you imagine you sending a message to God, say, God, you know what? If you vote that guilty, we're going to do this and do that to you. You know, I can really see God falling out laughing all over the place. I can see that. Because what you would send out as a threat, the Lord really wouldn't look at it as being nothing, okay? I mean, let's just be honest about it. So when it comes to repenting of sin, not only do the sinner needs to do it. Now, the sinner needs to repent and to come to Christ, okay? He needs to accept Christ as Lord in his repentance. But, however, you notice that this is one of the foundation principles that God is talking to Christian about. So your repentance don't stop there, okay? Christian, when you get saved, your repentance don't stop there. So if you do any, commit any act that is sinful and all that, God said, you still need to repent. Drop the mentality that you are a Christian and you don't have to repent. Maybe some people had taught you that, to program you that way. I'm here to tell you they are dead wrong, okay? Because once again, sin brings curses. It brings consequences. So if you decide in your mind that whatever sinful act you're committing, that you don't need to repent, the curses that sin will bring is going to hit you. It ain't going to bounce off of you because you are a, quote, child of God and you are saved. No, you are an open door right now. You may be still a child of God, but you will be an open door for that sin to afflict you. And I guarantee you, any curses that come from the result of any sin that you commit, if you don't believe me, go to God and pray about it and watch what God tell you. Because when it's a curse connected to the sin you committed, Almighty God's first words to you is going to be repent. Oh, yeah, it's going to be repent. It's going to be repent. It ain't going to be, well, don't worry, my child. No, it's going to be, you know, my child, repent. But see, we act like God, you know, wouldn't tell us that. Okay. See, this one, right, like I said, this one is the foundation. This is not the foundation principle, people. This is not the foundation. Repent. And the Lord said, build upon the foundation Christ has laid. So he's telling you, build your life on repenting. He's telling us all that, people. Build your life on repentance. A key and important thing, okay? Very key and very important. Amen. Now, I want to give a scripture to you from another one of the books of God's Word called The Record of Nephi. Amen. Another witness of the Lord dealing with man and his commandments and judgments and statutes. Just like he gave it through the Bible, by the way, the Jews in the Bible, he's giving here to the Nephites, by way of the Nephites. And I want to read to you from one of the books out of the Record of Nephi,
called the second book of Nephi. And this is the 31st chapter. Amen. Got 21 verses in this chapter. I'm going to read verse 17. It says, "Wherefore, do the things which I've told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. But the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost." Okay? And notice that with the baptism, repentance, it is connected to what? The remission of sin. So you ain't just, and understand this, you ain't just repenting for nothing. Okay? Remember the definition, one definition of repentance, or repent, to turn from sin. Okay? To turn from sin. So you turning away from something, committing the act that is labeled as sin. So this repentance is not something done in vain. So God told us that we are to build our lives on the foundation Christ has laid. And on this foundation is what? Repentance. So we got to build our lives being in repentance, okay? You can't stop doing that. Amen. But like I said, you have some of God's people who think that, hey, well, I don't have to, repent. I'm okay. Amen. I share with you guys, I think it was on this, I know it was on the other broadcast, God's Word of Man, but on this broadcast, I was approached, I think it was the year 1991, working in a grocery store. And I think I had been saved about a year, I think. And it was these group of people that come in the store, and they was claiming to be Christians. And they was some particular church outside of town where I lived at. And so they came to the store, and they was talking to me about the Lord. And then they told me something about, when you repent to the Lord, you ain't got to repent no more and things like that. And I said, so you telling me if I commit sin, I ain't going to repent no more? No, you covered by the blood. I said, wait a minute. I said, I don't believe that. Now, I wasn't in the Lord but about a year, and I knew better than that. I mean, something like that is way too easy, people. I mean, when you first come to the Lord and then you ain't got to repent no more, well, what was the need of you coming to the Lord? You could have just stayed a sinner and keep sinning, okay? But that's what they said. Well, you don't have to. I said, no, I don't buy that. And, we didn't have no long conversation. Trust me. But whether you guys believe it or not, there are some churches that would not practice repentance. That's why you got people leading the Sunday school who are drunkards, fornicators, adulterers, you name it. And the thing is this, people in the congregation know it. Okay? Yeah. And they're leading the Sunday school. Some of them are thieves, and they're leading director in the choir. Okay? Amen. And like I said, this is some things that some of the people in the congregation know. It ain't nothing new, okay? It's some things that they know. Amen. And they just let the person, they put the person up in the position and let them, and it's just like, some of you guys have seen in the last few years, I say the last, this is 2022, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 years, you have seen some leaders in these churches, big well-known leaders in these churches fall. You have seen them caught up in scandals. You have seen them unveiled. And see, here's the thing,
The Lord is not going to let any of us make a mockery out of him. And one of the things about God is that God will send you a word and tell you to repent. If you don't repent, he lets you know you're going to be exposed. And there have been some ministers who were exposed. And, you know, one in particular was that, and I don't say this to be mean or bashing, because this particular brother in the Lord had passed. And this minister name was Bishop Eddie Long. Now, I used to watch Bishop Eddie Long preach, and some of his sermons were real anointing. I didn't say all of them, but some of them was. I do believe at one point he was a man of God. But you, well, some of you that knew or saw the news and all that, what does this start? I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, maybe. But anyhow, it started coming out against him that he was fooling around with these boys, if you know what I mean. And I remember I would see when it first was coming out about him and these boys was filing this injunction against him and stuff like that, the first thing Bishop Long did was he got up on the stage and telling people that ain't true, and he started calling himself David and the people that's against him is Goliath and all of that. And evidence started to build against him. I mean, they had pictures where he was taking pictures, snapshot of himself and sending it to these boys. And these boys, I mean, and I think in all that I last remember, it was five boys making this accusation, okay? And Bishop Long, I don't ever, unless he did it in secret, I did not remember ever seeing him repenting publicly. And in that, too, he should have sat down to be under the word to be taught, you know, from his position. But one of the things I noticed about him is that even through this, and he found guilty and all this stuff coming out against him, and these things are showing out some truth to this, what he did, he still continued to try to minister. And people didn't want to come and hear him no more. Not too much. He was losing out. And then all of a sudden, some of y'all know how he died. You know, Bishop Eddie Long used to work out and lift weights. He was kind of a nice-sized guy. But at his death, he was so little. And I don't remember what sickness took a hold of him out there. I don't know, was it cancer? I don't remember. But he got very little. And see, he would not, I don't ever remember him doing a public repentance. I think that his wife behind that left him. I think, I'm not 100% sure. I know she was talking about it. But, you know, I hate that for him that way. But people, we got to repent. We got to repent. And my personal prayer for me is, Lord, help me to repent. Okay? That's my personal prayer. I hope that's your personal prayer. You know? And notice my prayers say, help me, not make me, because God is not going to make me repent. God is not going to make you repent. God will tell you you need to repent, but the Lord is not in the business of making people repent. He's not going to do that. If God was in the business of making people repent, then it wouldn't be nobody in hell. Okay, but see, he's a loving God, and he's not a God to take you against your will. So if you don't want to repent, he's not going to make you. But this is what he tells you. There's consequences that comes with it. You're going to suffer the consequences if you don't. Now, the beautiful thing about the Lord is that he don't want you to suffer that. He don't, you know, God don't want this bad things to be happening to us. So he, that's not his will, okay? But if you don't repent, then the consequences going to come, period. So once again, don't let anyone move you away from building on the foundation of repentance. I don't care how long you've been saved. Because you have some people in their pride who would tell you, well, I've been in the Lord 20, 25 years. It don't make no difference if you've been 125 years. What God called repentance, repent. And here's another thing that I want to add in here. Some people think they're very cunning. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, and God had dealt with me about this back 22 years ago in the year 2000. Some of God's people think they're cunning. They think that just because, for example, let's take the Bible alone, for example. They think that they don't read the Bible, that they can't be held accountable of certain things that they do. Because, quote, I don't know. Well, when you look at the law concerning sin causing death to come, your ignorance doesn't keep you exempt. But some of us seem to think it does. So you think that if you don't study the Bible, because God told me, he said that's why some of these people won't study his word, because he said they're afraid of what his word going to show them about themselves. Okay? That word, the word of God, points out sin. Okay? It's going to point sin out. So if any of us is doing something that, hey, we ain't got no business doing, that is sin, that word, the word of God, is going to point it out. And see, some people won't study the word because they think that, hey, what I don't know won't hurt me. Well, I'm here to tell you that that statement is not true, okay? Because that being the case, some of us that have literally gone to doctors wouldn't have went. You had some problem in your body. You didn't know what it was. Only thing you know is you were hurting. So, because you was in ignorance about what it was, did it stop it from affecting you? No, it did not. Okay? It did not stop it from affecting you. Okay? Amen. So we have to build on this foundation that Christ laid. We got to build on it, people. If we expect to survive, and at the end, when the smoke clears, be with Christ, when it's said and done, we got to build on this foundation. If we don't, we're not going to make it with Jesus in the end. Okay? That's just the honest truth. Okay? Once again, you can talk about how long you've been in the church. It don't make a bit of difference. Okay? You still have to repent. Amen. And you're going to see, get ready for it, you're going to see more exposure, especially of some of these well-known big-time ministers who are doing stuff behind closed doors that's ungodly and won't repent. Like I told you before they expose you, you think that God ain't been trying to tell them to repent? Yeah. But if you don't repent, then exposure comes next. You're going to be exposed. And especially if you're leading a group of people, you're going to be exposed, okay? Simple as that. Amen. So get ready. Because you're going to see more get exposed, because I know that God is sending them a word to repent. And some of them is turning a blind eye. They just, you know, and they got a deaf ear. They ain't hearing. Because that thing they're committing is bringing them either so much money or so much pain, okay, that they don't want to repent. And so the Lord said, okay, the next step is exposure. People, exposure is the next step. That's the next thing that's going to come up, exposure. It's going to happen. Amen. So build upon this foundation, the word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for this day you have blessed us and enabled us to go into the word of God. Father, we ask today in Jesus' name that, Lord God, that you would water the seed that I've sown. And I pray that I've done it for your glory and honor. Bring glory and honor to your name. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, I magnify you and I glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, I thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say same. I will be back broadcast tomorrow. And tomorrow night we have another full gospel message broadcast with Brother Eddie Lee as well. So, thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt, the Church Christ Alive, the message on the broadcast, Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you and he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.